You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show sparked with natural and artificial orange flavor. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh, and I'm full of sugar and caffeine.
As are we all. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Casinos have been around for thousands of years. Who started gambling? Who was the first big-time riverboat gambler? Who cares? Probably some hunk who said, want a bet? What are you waiting for? Let's go gamble.
That's a long one.
It's a long one. I need to cut that one down. Yes. They're all, at this point, they're all classics. If I haven't changed anything in 6 months, does that mean make them all classics, I guess?
It's vintage as far as the internet's concerned.
There you go. All right. So yeah, talking about things we have been checking out. One thing that I've checked out, a couple things. The first one is a real quick hit. I'm continuing to play Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. And I think I've gotten to the point where the game jumps the shark. I don't think I like it, but I'm going to continue playing it because I'm bound and determined to beat this game and see where the story goes. There is a point where, okay, so there is like time travel shenanigans, which is a tricky thing to pull off anyway when it comes to the storyline. They did it once with a little insert robot, tiny, you know, cutesy character, and that was fine. It's kind of the impetus for the kind of diverging timeline, whatever. But they now introduced four other characters from the main timeline that have also just happened to travel back in time 100 years in order to help out. And it's solely because The Legend of Zelda, even in Breath of the Wild, does not have that large of a cast list. And they were stretching to find different characters to put into the game. So they had to just pull from whatever.
And they're not even that good. They're just the same as the other ones.
They're the same, but slightly different.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. That happened and I went, oh my God, they are jumping the shark so bad. Because not only did they bring back characters from 100 years in the future for almost no reason with no explanation, they did it in two separate chapters. So in two overly long levels, had the same exact conceit. And yeah. It's like, I didn't like this the first time around. Why do I need to play this the second time?
And the parts where you pilot the giant robots. They're fun at first, but then they start dragging on for too long.
I loathe running around in those things. They're all so sluggish. And it's like, I just don't care. Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to finish playing the game. I'm going to beat it because I'm too far into it to quit at this point. But it really dropped off. Not awesome.
Yeah, I'll agree because that's probably after those missions is when I stopped playing.
Yeah, I can believe it. The other thing I did over the weekend, went to a beer tasting down at Studio 35 in Columbus and saw Godzilla vs. Kong. And Cody, I know you also saw Godzilla vs. Kong. You saw it from the comfort of my home. In hindsight, probably should have done that myself. Josh, have you seen Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yep, watched it yesterday.
Cool, so let's talk about Godzilla vs. Kong because I have a feeling we may have differing opinions on this, which doesn't happen often on this show.
I thought it was fine.
I think I am right on the opposite side of fine. It was didn't quite live up to what I was expecting, and I wasn't expecting a lot. It wasn't terrible. It just, if the opposite of awesome is terrible, the opposite of fine is it existed.
Yeah.
And that was a one cubic movie. as far as I'm concerned. It existed. Josh, what do you think?
I mean, I liked it. I mean, I'm glad I watched it. I will definitely say it wasn't as strong as like King of the Monsters was.
Oh, I thought it was better than King of Monsters.
I mean, there are parts of it I really liked, but then there are other parts where I'm just like, I don't care about some of these people.
I thought King of Monsters was way too focused on sad dad that looks like Papa John.
Yeah.
He just really sucked.
King of Monsters did focus on the families an awful lot, but they also gave us
a lot of cool monster action.
A lot more cool monster action. And the other thing about the other Godzilla movies and Kong movie, I guess, they were set in a relatively realistic universe. Like, you know, by King of Monsters, there was a little bit of technology that doesn't quite exist here. Like, they were retrofitting like whale song
for the alpha signal
equipment. Yeah. For the alpha signal. But it was all technology that could conceivably exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to this one where they're talking about taking a hover ship to the Hollow Earth.
But it's post-Titan technology that they've built from the...
For the purpose of this.
From the Titans themselves.
I guess...
I mean, they kind of explain it. It doesn't make it cool.
Better.
It doesn't make it cool.
Yeah. It makes sense in the universe of the movie, but the designs were lame. Like, the float ships were just dumb boxes with...
They were. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the shipping container or the actual little... craft they took to the center of the
Earth. I'm talking about the tiny craft.
Yeah.
The little hovercraft. That was kind of dumb. What I could say is the movie felt like it was written by a child, and I mean that in both the best and worst way. Yeah. Because at the best of times, it felt like a kid taking two action figures and just smashing them together over and over.
At the best of times, Kong is learning sign language. At the worst of times, stupid hover car.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I didn't care about the people at all. And I mean, you don't go to a Kong and Godzilla movie. You don't go to a big kaiju monster movie for the human characters. But if you're going to be spending an hour and 45 minutes of the two and a half hour runtime with these characters, you'd hope to get something out of them.
I mean, the movie was an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, it was really?
Yeah.
So it felt like 2 hours. Okay. It felt like 2.5.
The conspiracy guy sucked.
Oh, I hated it. Yeah, the Millie Bobby Brown stuff, that whole side of things with the conspiracy guy and Fire Fist from Deadpool 2 could have been removed completely.
I just don't think conspiracy jokes are funny anymore because people believe that crap now.
Yeah, that does kind of burn things. That whole side of the human arc, because there's two different sides. There's like the Kong.
There's the people, Kong team.
The Kong people
side. And then
side
there's the people running around in the evil corporation base. Yeah.
The Mechagodzilla side, basically. Spoilers, Mechagodzilla's in this movie, which is actually kind of one of the highlights of the movie for me, except it's also one of the lowlights, and I'll get to that in a second. But the Millie Bobby Brown side of things could have been removed completely.
I liked the Kong people. I thought they were passable monster movie people.
The Kong side of people were fine. I didn't get much out of Kong Lady. I don't even know what the character's name.
I couldn't tell you.
But Kong Lady.
The only one that matters is the little girl.
The little girl. I wish they would have done a little more with the Skarsgård guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they tried
Eric
to set
from
up.
True Blood.
Yeah, they tried to set something up about, oh, his brother had studied the Hollow Earth phenomena, and when he tried to go in with a conventional ship, like hovercraft or whatever, the Earth's gravitational core just squished him into a fine paste. And I wish they would have dug a little deeper with that. So when he is explaining that his brother died doing what he is trying to do, it would have had a little bit more of an impact.
Yeah.
Also, like, evil corporation daughter girl who shows up for like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a character, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a character. She gets squished and gets removed from the movie unceremoniously.
Yeah. It's like...
Evil Tony Stark, man.
Yeah.
Who reminded me a lot of Ricardo Montalban. Like a lot of Ricardo Montalban gets removed from the film unceremoniously. That should have been Charles Dance because he was in King of the Monsters.
Oh, you're talking about evil terrorist guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's in the end credit scene?
He even buys Ghidorah's head at the end.
Which is a major plot point, which is actually the one negative thing I have about
Mechagodzilla
is I don't know what they were trying to accomplish by saying, oh, the skulls, even without the brains from Ghidorah, they still have telepathic abilities.
It sure did look cool, though.
It looked cool, but by sitting inside one skull of Ghidorah with a bunch of robot computer parts and putting the skull parts of one of the other heads in Mechagodzilla, that's how they used it to control it.
Oh, wait, there was a skull inside Mechagodzilla?
That was how they were communicating. Because they said that the telepathic link between the two skulls,
because the necks were so long, they could telepathically communicate with each
other. Right. It was like super, super long range Bluetooth, basically.
Mm.
And that's what that's the whole.
So basically, Mechagodzilla was Ghidorah.
The way I took it, when they lost control of Mechagodzilla and he started rampaging on his own and gained his own sentience, that was Ghidorah coming back.
I mean, in the old films, Ghidorah does come back as a sort of mechanized version.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But also, Mechagodzilla and Mechagodzilla are two different characters. Mechagodzilla is still half Ghidorah. I mean, he's like a cyborg, basically. Mechagodzilla was just straight up... Well, the first Mechagodzilla was an alien.
He was an alien.
Was an alien robot.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what the other two were. But also, the original Mechagodzilla was like dressed up to look like Godzilla until the end of the film.
Right, right.
Which I thought that's what they were going to do. When, like, in the trailers, and they talked about, oh, Godzilla's hurting people, and we don't know why. I thought it was Mechagodzilla wearing Godzilla skin.
I thought it was kind of heading that direction as well. The other thing, they kind of hastily wrote out all of the other Titans that they had set up.
Yeah, that's true.
They, like, by the end of the last one, they're like, oh, there's still, like, a dozen or so. There's, what about that giant mammoth guy?
Yeah, or the spider.
Or Mothra? Mothra came back and saved the day.
Oh, I thought Mothra died.
But they planted the seed. There was the Mothra egg.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
And then, like, within 2 seconds of the beginning of this film, it's like, oh, no, it's Godzilla's killed them all off. It's just him and Kong left. That's it. Everyone else is dead.
I mean...
And nobody wanted to trust Godzilla whatsoever. They're just like, oh, he's attacking. Why?
Well,
and
because what's his name? Watanabe wasn't there to tell them, he is our protector. Let them fight.
It's true. He was unceremoniously killed off in King of Monsters in a stupid way.
In Atlantis.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
He died from touching Godzilla in Atlantis.
Yep.
Well, not just that. I mean, they detonated a nuclear weapon in Atlantis. Yeah.
He was just like, I'll do it. I'll sacrifice myself. And everybody's like, okay, good luck.
This is like... like atonement, or for atomic weapons in World War II or whatever. That was like his whole thing in like the second movie, was like his stopped Hiroshima watch.
Oh yeah,
that belonged to his father or something. But no, like the other thing, like with the whole Hollow Earth stuff, which was cool and neat, and then you know Castle Kong or whatever you want to call it, with
Kongsylvania.
I like that.
But like, there's all these like statues of the giant apes and stuff, and I'm like, did the apes build it?
Maybe.
Like, there's like all these statues and stuff, and like, did the apes build it? Or was there like a race of people worshiping the giant apes down here?
Don't think about it.
I know. You're not supposed to
think. Time for monster fight.
But, I understand that.
But in that case, give me more monster fight tips so I don't have to think about the other stuff.
But at the same time, like a big thing of like King of the Monsters was they talked about this lost race of people who worshipped the Titans. And that was the whole thing with the Atlantis stuff.
And that little girl is all that was left.
Well, left of the natives from Skull Island.
Yeah.
Which I also don't understand, because they talk about, oh, the storm came and like wiped everybody out. I'm like, I thought the whole thing with Skull Island was there was constantly a storm there anyway.
Around it.
Around it, but not on it.
Oh, so when did the storm move?
Sometime in the last 30 to 40 years.
Godzilla made it move.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, the anti-oxygen bomb, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. that they blew up in Skull. I think it was Skull. No, it was King of Monsters.
King of Monsters.
That changed the weather in the area.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. The oxygen bomb, that's a throwback to the original Godzilla film. Because that's how they killed the original Godzilla, was the oxygen bomb.
Wouldn't it turn all the water to pure hydrogen?
It removed all the oxygen in the water. That's what happened.
Yeah, it would turn it to pure hydrogen.
Well, probably, yeah.
And that's kind of, yeah. I mean, that's what, yeah.
That's the thing, like, in the old Godzilla films, like, the original Godzilla was killed. And then every Godzilla after that is the second Godzilla until baby Godzilla grows up by Final Wars.
You mean Godzuki?
No, its name was Minetta.
And he makes, like, weird dog noises.
Yeah, it sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. That's canon in my heart.
Uh-huh.
Well, same here. Well, Godzuki's from that really bad animated cartoon.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
But no, like, baby Godzilla's
name. It was on before Sailor Moon every day.
Hey, remember when they made an animated cartoon for that Matthew Broderick Godzilla?
Vaguely.
I remember it.
I only watched it because it came on right before Big Guy and Rusty.
Yeah.
I loved Big Guy and Rusty.
There's so many shows that's like, oh, I only watched that because it was on before something I actually liked.
That's like half of the Fox Kids Saturday morning for me.
Oh, the Men in Black cartoon.
The Men in Black cartoon.
I never liked Eek the Cat.
I loved Eek the Cat.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you why I didn't like it.
Did you listen to that What a Cartoon?
Yes,
about
I did. Yeah. I'm like, it sounds like it was actually pretty good.
It was really good, yeah.
I don't know why I didn't like it as a child.
I don't know. I really liked Eek the Cat. I really liked Super Dave Osborne. And no one remembers Super Dave.
Well, I remember it. I don't really have much memory of it. I remember of it.
Yeah. But Godzilla and Kong.
I mean, like I said, it was an all right movie, and it definitely, you know, lived up to my Batman v Superman predictions of it, where they're going to fight, but then there was going to be a mutual enemy they team up against.
They did. There was a winner, though. Kong got his butt kicked by Godzilla. Spoilers. But
Kong came and saved Godzilla from Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, but this was after Kong had definitively lost.
I mean, he was dying.
He was dead. Like, if there hadn't been intervention, he would have just died. So I think you can safely say Godzilla won the fight.
Well, then that's weird, because Kong is the protagonist of the movie.
He really
is. And Godzilla is kind of the antagonist up to the very end.
The whole movie is basically sets up, like, be sympathetic for Kong. Like, beginning to end, that movie is be sympathetic to Kong, because all Kong's music is real mellow and fun, and then all of Godzilla themes are the old school Godzilla destroying the city theme songs.
Yeah.
From like the old movies.
I went into the movie liking legendary Godzilla character more than Kong, and left saying, oh, I think I'm a Kong boy now.
Kong was great.
Yeah.
And he had his super axe.
And then it turns out Skull Island is the best movie in the cinematic
the Monsterverse.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So Kong's the best one.
I mean,
Kong is best boy.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing where it shows him, like, waking up on the island, taking his little stroll, taking his little his waterfall shower.
Launching that tree up at the artificial
sky.
The Kong stuff was good, the best part of the movie all around.
It really was. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah. I like that the kid no one at any point was, they were trying to trick Kong into going to Hollow Earth. Kong signed to her, hey, is my family down there? And she honestly answered him, I don't know. And no one lied to Kong.
They made it seem like they were gonna, but then they didn't do it.
And then they didn't, yeah. But no one lied to Kong, and that's okay.
I almost expected somebody to say, like, the minute, like, Kong got down there, found the cool, you know, Godzilla scale axe.
Now detonate it.
No, I thought when he sat down on the throne and looked all Conan-esque, I totally thought somebody was going to drop the name. Well, I guess he's King Kong.
Yeah, now he's King.
He's King Kong, yeah.
But then they never did.
Yeah. The battleship ocean fight was pretty rad and more than a little, like, Evangelion.
Really? Oh, that one episode. Yeah,
where, like, Asuka's jumping from ship to ship. Yeah.
That was very cool in this movie.
Well, knowing the director, Adam Wingard, Yeah, he probably
took a little.
That is, no, probably not just a little. He probably took a lot of that straight from.
Yeah, the only thing we needed was Kong that. To have like a big cloak on, like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, and then like Godzilla, like boring a hole all the way to Hollow Earth with his freaking like one continuous atomic breath. Like, if Godzilla can do that...
I feel like that would have some serious ecological repercussions.
Oh, yeah. But not, yeah. Not only that, but, like... Because the way they make it sound is, like, Hollow Earth is almost another dimension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you have to go through a special, you know, Earth wormhole or whatever to even get there.
And it wasn't as cool as they thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting.
I kind of like Zero Gravity Kong. That was
When he like
that
realized
was a cool shot. When
that
he,
was a neat yeah. shot when he jumped from one to the other. That was neat. That was pretty cool.
And but then like when like they he puts the axe in the little crevice in the floor or whatever, and the whole thing lights up as a motif of a Godzilla.
Yeah,
I was like, and then there's like the Godzilla skeleton down there with the axe stuck in its head.
Mm.
I was like, okay. I mean, they keep playing off this whole, you know, they're legendary, you know, genetic rivals or whatever.
You know, I think if I was making a Godzilla movie, I would first watch a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
Because what it comes down to is the fights are just wrestling.
Sure.
So what
sure.
you would do is watch a lot of wrestling and find and figure out what works about that
mm-hmm.
and use that in your monster movie.
So you're saying we need to put Kong in Shutter Shades and have him sign about how he is... the cream of the crop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the cream rises to the top.
I mean, I think that's like the equivalent of Kong just beating his chest. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. That's his thing.
When yeah. they just screamed in each other's face. That was their that wrestling was, hype moment.
That like, was it. Yeah, that's them cutting a promo just by screaming at each other.
Or like the whole part where like, we're like, I love how you're watching Kong like, kind of get smarter as like the Godzilla fight goes on,
because
mm-hmm. then he's like just dodging around buildings, like hiding from the atomic breath. Like in my head, like Kong's yeah. internal monologue is like crap, 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 crap.
You know, that fight was really cool, with the exception, I don't know why I took umbrance with this. I really don't know why. There is no reason for it, and you guys are gonna call me crazy. Kong is a smart gorilla. But he is still a gorilla. When he dislocated his shoulder, how did he know to slam his shoulder into a Tokyo building? Pop it back into place.
That's a good question.
Unless it's happened before.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he dislocate his shoulder in Skull Island when he fought the Skull Stalker or whatever?
You might be right.
Okay.
I feel like we've seen him do it more than one time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that case, I must have forgotten that part then.
It's been a while since I watched Skull Island.
Yeah, but... That was the one thing that kind of took me. I was like, oh no, that's just a guy in a suit.
Oh, and then when he's like after that, and he just squared up.
That's just Andy Serkis jumping around.
Apes together, strong.
All right. Well, hey, that's been my check 'em outs for the week. So, what do you guys? We still have a little bit of time before the break. So, what have you guys done?
What have you done, Cody?
What have you done?
We can talk about Invincible real quick.
The
animated. Adult superhero series.
Yeah, I haven't
on Amazon
had a chance
with
to...
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah,
yeah,
know, but it's got a pretty stacked cast, actually.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to sit and watch this, but I've read the first couple volumes of the comic, and it seems as though, at least from the trailers that I've seen, it's pretty much following the comics one to one.
So is this basically like animated boys?
No, it's got more going on than that.
A bit more.
Like, it's about a kid whose dad is basically Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just now getting his superpowers, albeit a little late. He's late blooming on his superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's learning, you know, what it means to be a superhero among this world.
A world of superheroes.
All of which have pretty obvious, like, ancillary, like, DC Comics connections
DC
or Marvel
or
whatever.
Yeah.
Mostly DC, honestly. Like, there's a whole Justice League type bunch of characters.
They're the Guardians of something or
the
other.
The Guardians of the Globe,
I think. That's it, yeah.
And there's, like, War Woman is mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, and
yeah.
There's a Martian that's, like, Martian Manhunter, and there's kind of a a Green Lantern analog.
They're all there, and that's straight from the comics as well.
Yeah.
I do like some of the teen characters, the twin characters who can duplicate themselves. Multi-Paul and his sister Replicate.
This just says Replicate.
Oh, really? Okay. Multi-Paul does show up. I think he shows up later in the comics.
Oh, you know what? They showed him in a prison.
Yeah.
And I went, was that Replicate's brother?
Yeah.
So it probably
That is Multi-Paul. Some of the names are dumb like that. Like there's Atom Eve, A-T-O-M.
Yeah.
Like she's Atomic Atom Eve.
And it has Tick vibes if the Tick wasn't as funny.
It has Tick vibes until
it gets really absurdly and unnecessarily violent.
That was the other thing about this comic. It was incredibly violent a lot of the time, especially once the big twist.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched it, and I'm pretty sure I already know the twist.
It happened pretty early on in the comic series.
Yeah, it happens in the first episode of the show.
Yeah, we should probably go ahead and can spoil it.
Yeah, Omni-Man kills the entire Guardians of the Globe.
Invincible's dad, Omni-Man, who is the Superman, turns out he is not a benevolent protector of Earth. He was sent from a warlike...
Don't go too far, because the show hasn't revealed motivations yet.
But he quickly and violently murders the entire Justice League, basically. He turns on the Earth for, I guess, reasons unknown on the show.
Yeah.
I know what's going on, the whole thing behind it. But
it's violent just for the sake of being violent. It doesn't serve the story any, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's just kind of gross. And like, it doesn't really bother me, but it just seems kind of dumb.
I remember feeling that way when I read it in the original issues, that it was like, wow, this is... And I mean, maybe that's part of the point, that it's jarring, that it's supposed to be set up as like a teen superhero comedy book that at times throws you,
completely
180 and like goes super jarring, especially with the art style, which is very like traditional comic booky. It's not like super realistic or anything like
that.
And
the animation in the show is pretty good.
And it's really close to, it looks like it came right off the page.
It's pretty smooth. There's only occasionally you'll see something that looks kind of cheap, and they'll maybe, when he's flying, they'll tween his thing, his character model without like actually animating him moving. Or Adam Eve's character design doesn't work. Her emblem on her chest is supposed to be the female symbol with like electrons going around the circular part.
Yeah.
It just looks like a female symbol with an X through the top.
Oh.
And
yeah.
It's like, well, that's stupid. Like that, you guys, that doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's probably the worst paced show I've ever seen.
The comic was also similarly
the pacing
poorly
is
paced.
So bad.
Yeah.
Because you'll go 1 minute, it's like, okay, it seems like the show's winding up to be done with this episode. Oh, no, you're doing something else? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they have no idea what the three-act structure is, and they're working with like a 5 1/4 act structure.
That's because the comic series didn't work on that. They were writing for the trade, and very rarely does that translate well. If you're trying to put everything like one for one from page to screen, it doesn't fit into neatly into like an episode or a couple episode.
And there's
arc.
No reason why they needed to do that. If they're developing this show for television, then pace it correctly.
Well, it's because the writer of the comic, Robert Kirkman, is also the head of the production company Skybound that does the show, and he is also main showrunner on this show, so he is bound and determined to get every single thing that he has written
It would make sense if they released it all at once so you could binge it.
Yes.
But they're not doing that. They're doing weekly releases like it's WandaVision.
Oh, super weird.
So it doesn't make sense to pace it that way at all.
Huh. That's wild.
You'll get like a 10-minute bit after the credits of most episodes.
Oh, that's
so it's like you think it's done, and then it'll go on for another 5 to 10 minutes dropping some other story nugget that's like, well, what do you want me to do with this now? Like, the next episode's not for another week, and it's not, like, done in a smart way. It's just in a way to, Well, yeah. Like Walking Dead used to do.
That's the other thing. Robert Kirkman, yeah. Walking Dead.
The cliffhanger that has no respect for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, hey, listen, I hate to cut things off here, but we got to take a break. So we're going to go to break, come back, and get into some news.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the jam. That was the...
Nailed it.
Yeah, that was the song from Space Jam by the Quad City DJs.
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
It is just Space Jam.
It's just Space Jam.
By Quad City DJs. Come on and slam. And welcome to the jam.
Oh, wait. No, that's different.
That's y'all ready for this? Yeah. Dun-na-na-na-na-na. Okay. All right. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. Space Jam. I don't know.
You need the clip from Monster Hunter when you cook meat right that goes so tasty.
That would be good. I'll have to do that. Make me a list of things to find, because we say we're gonna we come up with things to add and then it never happens. So make me a list. Anyway, yeah, well, let's get into a little bit of the news. First up, let's talk about some trailers. There is a trailer for Space Jam. The Legacy Continues.
The new Legacy?
I forget what the exact...
Space Jam 2, everybody.
Space Jam 2. Space Jam 2.
This time, this time it's LeBron.
So the trailer looks... They're taking a different approach with this one.
It's sick as hell.
It's not. But no, they're taking a slightly different approach to this one.
By sick, I mean dumb.
Oh, well, that, yes. So instead of being sucked into cartoon world, much like Michael Jordan had, LeBron and his son get sucked into the internet, where he meets digital Don Cheadle.
Specifically, the Warner Brothers server.
Pretty much, yeah. And... LeBron meets digital versions of the Looney Tunes cartoon characters.
Yeah, so you see him like fly past all these hub worlds of all these other established franchises
to find Kingdom Hearts. It's
kinda.
It's the same.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of planets based on franchises. Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Like he
thing.
Like flies past like Game of Thrones world and
yeah.
All that.
It's also Ready Player One.
Yeah, it's basically Ready Player One, because there's a part later on where you see a bunch of other characters who aren't connected to the Looney Tunes at all.
Ready Player One-on-One? I got it. Yeah.
There's so many characters. It's dumb. It's mm-hmm. so stupid.
Like, Iron Giant shows back up.
As much as
I love that animated masterpiece by Brad Bird, stop putting him in stuff.
Isn't it great... for him to say how much he is not a gun in his own movie, only to be used as a big force of destruction
in Ready Player One.
In every other form of media that he has been attached to.
But this movie is basketball.
But he's
not going to kill people in
But
this
he's not
movie.
He's not stomping around playing basketball. He's just stomping around breaking stuff.
In the trailer, he might play basketball.
That's true. That seems like cheating, though. Put an Iron Giant on your basketball team. Although I guess he would have to bend over to put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah, it becomes a manual dexterity challenge.
That's it.
Him to get that tiny ball into the small hoop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a different kind of challenge.
Yeah, and they've added so many. It's weird. It's almost like Warner has just taken whatever properties they have and thrown into background for gags without thinking about
what that means.
Oh no, what if we get like Michael Keaton Batman, like
I think
Duncan shots.
No, he's there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's there. I know Alex and the Droogs from Clockwork Orange are in a crowd shot in that trailer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman. There's a whole bunch of
Space Ghost. Ghost is in it.
Almost all the Hanna-Barbera. I mean, there's the big rock monsters from the Herculoids or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Is that Gleek? No.
No, those are the goo monsters.
Oh, yeah. Igu. That's
I thought
it.
Gleek was the blue monkey from Space
Gleek was
Ghost.
The blue monkey.
Yeah, that too. There's a bunch of Hanna-Barbera characters that names are just like Glark and Gleep. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's also the fuzzy... pillow monster from Josie and the Pussycats Go to Space. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jabberjaw was in a couple shots, and I was immediately extremely thrilled to see Jabberjaw. I love all those Hanna-Barbera characters. I don't care how bad their cartoons were.
Or how derivative of Scooby-Doo they were.
Yeah. Who was also there.
Yeah.
It looked a lot like their designs from Scoob, which I still stand by was a pretty all right movie.
Yeah, I saw where somebody was complaining that they made LeBron a cartoon character.
I liked
so
how,
what? That was fine.
I liked his cartoon design. It was really good.
It's interesting to see that when you go to one of the planets, you
pull a Kingdom Hearts and you look like them?
Yeah.
And you turn into a, yeah.
And he like inflated his legs by blowing on his thumb. That's a good gag. That's a quality joke.
That's fine.
I mean, didn't Michael Jordan do that in the first Space Jam?
He stretched his arm out really long.
Well, I remember that, I thought like at some point.
No, you're thinking of Wayne Knight.
Well, yeah.
Was flattened.
Newman.
And then blew himself up like a balloon.
You think Bill Murray will be in this one?
I hope so.
I hope he brings the same level of energy.
Okay, so this generation.
Who is this generation's Bill Murray?
Okay, my brain went somewhere and I don't think he is
It's Paul Rudd.
Well, if you're thinking of Ghostbusters, absolutely. Yeah. But my brain went somewhere and he's not this generation's Bill Murray, but he would be fill a similar role as celebrity who wants to play basketball but can't because he's bad. Kevin Hart.
Yeah, but
can you see Kevin Hart being like, "Hi, I'm a celebrity. I want to play basketball, but I'm just too short. I'm just so tiny."
It's not a big enough role for him, though. I don't think.
Oh,
I don't think he'd take it.
Hey,
no, I'm just saying Kevin Hart is like he carries a lot of films. I don't think he would do a bit part in Space Jam.
He would have big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
I hate you both. Me and Kevin Hart are the same size. Also, Muggsy Bogues was 5'3".
Muggsy Bogues was 5'3". That's very
so,
true.
So, you know, you guys could take your sizest attitudes and shove them.
He was the go-to, like, short person joke in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, Josh, you've certainly put us in our place. You truly are the bigger man.
Anyway, this Space Jam trailer has taken me from not really caring about the movie to wanting to see it very badly, and not because it looks good, because it looks like the weirdest train wreck I've ever seen, and I want to watch it so bad.
I want to have a home movie night where adult beverages are procured, and we all watch Space Jam 2.
Yes.
Because that seems like the best the best and only situation in which to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Join us for Nerd Overload Presents a roast of Space Jam 2.
We can make that happen. That's just a thing that can happen.
We'll even dress up. We'll live stream.
Do I think it looks good? No. Do I want to see it more than anything?
Absolutely.
Send it.
Okay, so some other trailers that have been released here recently. There is a trailer for the new The Suicide Squad, not to be confused with Suicide Squad.
No, the is the...
The means two.
the Suicide Squad.
This Suicide Squad is the definite article.
It's the Suicide Squad that went to the Ohio State University. The Suicide Squad.
They're gonna get sued by OSU.
Yeah. But no, this trailer, it's for the movie, this one's directed by James Gunn, who did right now most known for
Guardians.
The Guardians 1 and 2, but I mean he's done a million things in the past. This looks like a marked improvement over the first Suicide Squad.
It just looks like R-rated Guardians of the Galaxy.
It looks like what he wishes he could have done with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or the first Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do the first Suicide
Squad. I know.
But like, this seems like all of the jokes that he wanted to put into Guardians but couldn't because he had to keep it a light PG-13.
Yeah.
They're getting put in here.
Yep, because, you know, Warner Brothers like, you know what? Let's make all our stuff edgy. Here you go. People love that.
I think it looks great.
It looks,
I mean, I'm not saying that it looks like an R-rated Guardians as a slight.
It looks great. And the casting in this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they actually seem like they're like, you know what? we understand comics are weird. So
they're leaning into the weirdness.
Oh, yeah. They're leaning hard. And I'm like, it's about time.
Idris Elba looks great in this.
Who's he supposed to be?
He's not Deadshot.
No.
He is... I knew the name off at one point. You guys talk a little bit. Let me look it up. Okay. But...
King Shark looks great. I love King Shark. In any form of King Shark is good to me.
Sylvester Stallone King Shark is even better. It's phenomenal.
I like dumb King Shark. I like Ron Funches King Shark. Anyone is good.
King Shark is definitely like, I was so excited when they brought him onto, God, was it Flash? Was somebody's CW Flash? Was that the first time we saw him?
I think, yeah, they put him in that.
Bloodsport.
I thought Bloodsport was the other guy.
That's a dumb name.
Bloodsport is Idris Elba. Blackguard is Pete Davidson.
Okay. So that was the dude with the weird mask there at the beginning of the trailer?
The guy with the weird mask was Idris Elba. That is Bloodsport.
But not the guy with the weird mask that's John Cena.
John Cena is going to single-handedly steal this movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is Peacemaker?
Way. Peacemaker. To the point where Peacemaker is getting a 6-episode miniseries on HBO Max directed and written by James Gunn as a prequel to this film. You knew about that, right?
No.
Yeah. It's a Peacemaker miniseries starring...
His name is John Cena.
He's gonna be great in this movie.
Margot Robbie Harley Quinn is always good.
Oh, she was the shining light of the first one.
Yep.
And the fact they're getting real weird with pulling in like Polka Dot Man
is great. Ratcatcher is a deep pull.
Oh yeah, nobody's gonna know about them.
Yeah.
Who is Capaldi?
I think he's either the thinker or the calculator.
Yeah.
Let me look and see.
He looks cool in the trailer with all that stuff in his head.
Yeah.
Also, this one, like, technical-wise, doesn't look as bad as the first Suicide Squad movie.
He's the thinker?
Okay. Because, yeah. Like, man, when Killer Croc takes off his coat in the first Suicide Squad, I'm like, you look like crap. Put your coat back on. Like, your shoulders are huge, but then, like, your body just goes all little.
Yeah.
Well, they probably won't edit this movie to hell like they did Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to go in. They're going in like full bore. Like they're going to make it weird. So here's a check. Who's Yondu supposed to be?
He is a savant.
Okay.
So just a super smart dude.
Who's also really buff.
Yeah. It is Michael Rooker. Yeah.
Savant is like peak human physical, both mental and physical.
I thought that's what Deadshot was, or Deathstroke was supposed to be.
You sure?
I'm just saying, like, in the comics, like, Deathstroke's supposed to be, like, this peak human soldier or whatever.
Listen, there's over 1,000 Green Lanterns.
This is also true. This is also true.
Anyway, there are 2 trailers out right now. They both are fantastic. One is a Red Band trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have kids, maybe don't have them watch the Red Band trailer.
Just don't have them watch this movie. They're not for kids.
This one's not going to be for kids. Yeah.
Also, going really weird and pulling out Starro.
Yeah. Starro the Conqueror is a deep, deep DC.
He was the Justice League's first villain, wasn't he?
Yep. Giant alien mind-controlling starfish. It's great.
I'm about it.
Yep.
I am really, really about
it.
And
the thing is, the trailer has a lot of the characters in it, and they've said multiple times they're the Suicide Squad for a reason. A lot of these characters are going to die. A lot of them are going to have very limited screen time.
Oh, you mean like Slipknot?
Slipknot in the first one was like the only one on that team that died.
I'll bet you Polka Dot Man doesn't die.
I bet you Pokemon...
He wants to die.
Yeah.
He wants to...
That's
he
why
won't.
He won't, because he wants to.
I guarantee Nathan Fillion is Arms Fall Off Boy.
Oh, yeah.
He will not last long.
There's no franchise potential for Arms Fall Off Boy.
Just the fact that he's in there is weird enough. Oh, do you think Weasel will die?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Stupid, weird, bug-eyed... Animal Man.
He's just Rocket Raccoon that you can't sell to kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
he's Rocket Raccoon
he's
on
mangy,
meth.
Yeah, mangy Rocket Raccoon. I don't think Javelin or Mongal are going to last very long either.
Oh, is that who the yellow girl was?
Yeah, that's Mongol's daughter. Space alien.
Yeah, okay.
And Mongol is like Thanos light, or like...
Not good enough to be a dark side.
He's like...
Thanos.
Thanos.
The fresh tape maker.
Yes. Mongol the Conqueror, who had a, you know, intergalactic, you know, gladiatorial...
War world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have any other trailers that we wanted to talk about while we're here? Loki.
Oh, yeah, the Loki trailer.
It looks very good.
Looks good. Looks like it's going to be more in the vein of WandaVision than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
You know, people are going to flock to it anyway. It's got Tom Hiddleston's Loki in it.
Yeah. Of course.
Like, one of the greatest things out of the MCU.
And Owen Wilson. Wow.
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 Wow, you're an Asgardian. Wow.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to get weird. Yeah, like WandaVision, and mm-hmm. I'm there for it being weird.
Sure.
Falcon and Winter Soldier has been very good, but also just...
Yeah,
standard.
I have not watched any of Falcon and Winter Soldier yet, and we talked about this before the show. I think what I'll probably do is wait till the entire series is out and binge it all at once, because unlike WandaVision, that felt very episodic, at least at the beginning, and it felt like appointment television, this just seems like an extended cut of a film, of a standard Marvel movie.
And it seems that way. That's a completely valid way to go about it, because it's like an extended... It is. And they always drop a big bomb at the end of the episode, and then you gotta wait a week.
Yeah.
Like every single one.
So every time.
Plus, this one's only like 8 episodes. I think it's like 7 or 8. It's not the full 9 episode arc. So, yeah. I mean, I'll probably just binge it all when it's out.
I will say that the character work is very good. Yeah. The way the characters are characterized and how they play off of each other is the highlight of the show.
Ah, gotcha. Cool. Cool. All right. So so where do we want to move from here? We have a full list of things.
Let's talk about the Mystery Science Theater Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, sure.
It's back. They're back. They're doing it again. They're kickstarting another season of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Once again.
Yeah, once again. This time, no networks involved. They're just going to make episodes and release them themselves.
To their own proprietary app?
Yeah. I guess that's how I understand it.
That is the part that I am maybe not 100% sold on. The more MST3K, always good. I want it. Give me all of that. And they'll make their... They want... Their minimum is $2 million.
They've already made it.
And they've already made it. Yeah. The maximum they need for a full season is $5.5 million.
I mean, they'll get it.
And they will absolutely get it.
It slam dunked the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But along with this, they are developing their own app and streaming service for these new episodes, as well as live meetups and like live riffs and like watch
like
party
riff
kind of
tracks
things.
Live
like, yeah.
Things. But
and
through that app.
And it's cool in theory, but I guess I'm just not 100% on the logistics of that.
I mean, I guess it's a good idea from like a licensing standpoint, because then you don't have to worry about YouTube like flagging you or
sure.
Twitch flagging you for copyright, even if you do already have the rights. And I'm sure that's like a logistical nightmare to deal with these existing platforms.
Yeah.
So just having it all on their own thing does make sense, but also it's like a whole nother thing they have to deal with.
Yeah, and from the way it looks, it is not a free app.
No.
Like, you do have to, it's going to be another subscription service, and to be honest, I don't know if I can do it. I am kind of maxed out at subscription services.
Like, what's the point of cutting the cord when people just keep piling on stuff that basically makes it cable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that,
I mean,
more
that
than anything.
That time is gone. It was a nice time, but now it's gone. And
yeah,
now
it's back to,
you know, the
yeah.
consumer can't win for too long.
Right. Right. But no, more MST3K is always a good thing. I'm there for it.
I definitely feel like it's a step in probably the wrong direction.
I don't know if wrong direction I don't know if I'd go that far, but I just am a little leery about their ability to develop the app and keep it functional beyond the couple of months after the
launch.
The launch.
They're in with Shout Factory real deep. and Shout Factory has their own app, so it's probably just going to be the tech from Shout Factory TV.
True. True. And if that were the case, why don't they just try to spend the money and get all of the Mystery Science Theaters from all the different areas where they are and put them all on this one app? I would be okay with that. Just having one place to go to get everything from season one all the way up to season whatever.
I think a lot of it is that, too. I think they are going to put up the old episodes on there. Okay, I don't know if it's going to be all of them. But
well, when that happens, I'll maybe reassess.
And the Kickstarter tiers get you time on the app.
Yeah, but the max is like 6 months.
They got a whole year on
there. Oh, I guess there was a whole year. That's true. That's true. But even at that, I don't know. I mean, I want to see more Mystery Science Theater. I want to see it continue. The Gauntlet was great.
And it's the same. It's the Netflix cast.
Yeah.
Which is good. They deserve it another go at it. They deserve more than two seasons. Well, like 1.5 seasons, really.
Yeah. And I guess they're going to be developing some of their own original shorts with Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt as the Mads. Kind of what they're doing during all of this. And they're going to try to riff some shorts. They're going to do some other things. And that's cool. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm all for it. But I don't know. The app side of things, I'm a little...
No, I get it.
Touch and go.
Yeah. I get it.
With.
I'm gonna probably give them more money than I should. Like I did last time.
Like last time. I remember,
The prizes are very... The rewards are very good.
They're very good. Yeah, like shirts and get your name on as a backer and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My name's in the credits for the Time Machine one.
My name is in the credits for probably the worst episode of that one. The one about the traveling circus with the monkey.
Oh, that one's hilarious. It's so bad, it's hilarious.
It's so bad, though. And yeah, my name is in the credits on that one. Yeah.
The voice they do for the monkey.
Yeah.
Whenever they're riffing on the monkey is hilarious.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we don't have a whole lot of time left, so let's do a couple of quick hits. So the CW, they're making a show about disillusioned 20-something versions of the Powerpuff Girls.
Which is absolutely in the spirit of the original show.
Oh, absolutely. But we finally, they released a couple of on-set photographs of the titular Powerpuff Girls.
I wasn't expecting them ever to be dressed in their exact outfits. I mean, it's probably a flashback,
sure.
But still,
yeah.
I didn't expect to ever see it.
Same. I don't think I will enjoy this show, but I will watch the first episode out of morbid curiosity, much like Riverdale.
Yep, same. I'll probably end up watching most of it like Riverdale because Riverdale is so stupid.
It's so bonkers.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just glad to see Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. get more work. She's playing Blossom.
Riverdale had a plot line where Archie went to prison and was in a series of cage fights.
Yeah. Don't they do like a time jump or something? And
that's the upcoming season or the current season
where he ends
or
up going to space or something.
No, he joins the army.
The army.
And it looks like World War I for some reason.
Yeah. So weird. This show is so weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like Betty's a detective and mm-hmm. Jughead's a struggling writer. Like,
sure.
It's a dumb show. It's really dumb.
Yeah. Well, that's a show that leaned into the dumb.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe Powerpuff. They're calling it just Powerpuff. Maybe they will lean into the weirdness as well. Donald Faison was cast as Professor Utonium, by the way. Did you know that?
Which is that's pretty fun.
That's cool.
Fun casting.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool casting. I don't know what they're going to do with Mojo Jojo. Although there have been a lot of people, online that are petitioning to get Lil Nas X cast as him.
Yeah.
Based solely off of his most recent music video where he is the actual
Montero or whatever.
Yeah.
Where he is the devil. And great.
Yeah. Yeah. Do
it
that,
fits.
Please.
It fits. Who cares if he's an actor or not? It fits.
Hey, look, it can't be any worse than the Powerpuff Girls reboot they did a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, that was pretty rough.
I mean, I kind of liked that. I mean, it's less action.
Yeah. Do we know if Craig McCracken has anything to do with this?
Oh, no, he absolutely doesn't.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
I mean, I was going to say, you want to talk about it couldn't be any worse. Couldn't be any worse than that weird Powerpuff Girls anime.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I think that is an interesting reinterpretation of it, at least. Yeah.
How are they going to explain why they have fingers, though?
They popped in around the time they went through puberty, I guess.
That's it.
And now my headcanon is they make a sound.
Oh, that is horrible. Never do that sound again.
We're going to get an FCC complaint about that sound.
All right. And last bit of news here. You know what? We should probably mention this. After how many years of being on the internet? A couple decades at least. The popular question asking service
Forum.
Yahoo Answers.
And content generator.
Yes, content generator. Yahoo Answers is finally shuttering for good. I'm surprised it lasted this long.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been a source of constant comedy, both in our personal lives and while listening to My Brother and Me.
Yeah.
For years. In fact, they built the majority of their early empire off the back of Yahoo Answers.
Yahoo Nights Mysteries.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, some of our earlier episodes when we were trying to emulate other more popular podcasts.
When we were floundering around trying to find a format.
Yeah, we did some Yahoo Answers to varying degrees of success.
Some of them were pretty funny.
I don't know. There's some YouTube videos I always revisit about Yahoo Answers. And it's mostly about people's really awful spelling of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like not being able to spell the word pregnant.
Yeah, how is Babby form?
Or can't spell Ouija.
Ouija, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Ouija board?
Was that the one where the warrior cat names came from?
Probably.
Bramble Pelt and...
Well, that and a combination of the warrior cat book series.
Oh, but... yeah.
I think it was someone asking about the book series on Yahoo Answers.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yahoo Answers,
I mean,
we hardly knew ye.
Wasn't this like the last thing that Yahoo had other than their news page?
Also,
pretty much.
It's shutting down on 420, which
seems
like a deliberate call out to...
That seems accurate.
The McElroys.
Yeah. Do you think that's when they'll finally do episode 420? Because remember, they skipped over that.
That's right, they did.
They went from 439 to 419 to 421.
Yeah.
And specifically so that one day they can go back and do
episode
420. Yeah.
They should.
This might be it. So with that, we have actually hit the end of the show. So thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com or give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline at 586-372-8020. Leave a message and we might play it on the show.
That's right. You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
So tasty.